You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. My man Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes. Yes, I know. You know, Gottlieb, God, let me take a... presented by AMG. What up, Rob? How are you?
I'm great, Doug. Good morning. How are you?
Things could not be better in sunny Southern California. It's a little windy, a little bit, but when you consider... Right. When you consider what the rest of the country is going through otherwise, you're like, yeah, it was that's so bad. That's so bad, you know?
Especially when you see what the people of Texas, and I have friends down there, and a friend of mine lives in Dallas, and, you know, he's a former New Yorker living down there, thought he got away from, you know, the winter and everything, and, you know, no power and sleeping in the cold, wearing three sets of clothes, there's no hotels to go to. Just a mess. So hopefully everybody will bounce back from that terrible storm that hit that area.
Man, I mean, it's just one thing after the next. He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let me start with a story which I think we knew was out there, but it's always interesting how some people handle a press conference, right? I mean, that's really, especially, it's the wording that is most interesting when you look at the Ben Roethlisberger story. So Kevin Colbert is the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a press conference yesterday, and among the topics discussed was their quarterback position and Ben Roethlisberger's future. Take a listen to what Colbert had to say. Oh, I'm sorry. He basically said, like, look, Ben has expressed his opinion to want to come back, and we're not so sure if we want him back. He's like, wait, listen, there's some financial stuff to it, and we got to figure it out, whatever. There wasn't a Ben Roethlisberger's a Steeler for life. As long as he wants to play, we'll find a place for him. Do you think he's done in Pittsburgh?
I think if they can find a viable option, Doug, that they will move away from him. Obviously, you just can't cut bait if you don't have anybody. But this isn't – I don't know why people think this is strange. Most quarterbacks – I'm talking about great quarterbacks – wind up somewhere else to finish their career. We've seen it in the NFL forever. We just saw it with Tom Brady, right? You would think of anybody – that the Patriots would have said, well, he's not going to wear another uniform, you know. Oh, no, he's going to be here. Peyton Manning, we know that there was an injury involved, but Peyton Manning had to move on. We could go back to Joe Namath. We could go, I mean, I could just.
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana, who won 4 Super Bowls for an organization, was 4-0. He had to go to Kansas City. So is this new? No, this isn't new. And guys want to play longer, and teams decide that, you know, they're ready to move on. So I'm not surprised at all. And I never bought into the Steelers last year. I know they were 11-0. Doug, you know me. I'd like to maybe go over the top a little bit. I called them the worst 11-0 team I had ever seen. And I think I was
a
right.
A little over the top, yeah.
Yeah, just a little.
They lost two linebackers. They lost Bud Dupree and lost Devin Bush.
I get it.
I think it's a different team.
Even when they were winning some of the games, I remember they struggled against the lowly Cowboys. There were some games – Baltimore was missing like 17 or 18 people with COVID, and they barely beat them. When they beat the Ravens, I think the Ravens had 4 turnovers. gave them the ball, you know, gave the ball away, and they beat the Ravens by four. So I just wasn't that impressed with where they were.
No, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Steelers themselves know that Ben is he's not playing for anybody else because of the way that contract is written. Right, there's just too much dead cap money right now. I'm sure they're thinking, as it stands, we're better off with him retiring. If he retires, then all of a sudden we can get a little bit of cap relief. Whereas we can't, doesn't mean it goes away. You still end up having to pay it. You can just find different ways. There's other ways to do it. If he comes back, they got to rework the contract, which is basically feels like a little bit of a leverage play where they're like, yeah, you know, we could move on or we could not move on. Did feel like a little bit of negotiation in public. I guess to me, there's like three or four levels to it. One, I think it's why what the Packers did last year in the NFL draft continues to be the smart thing, even if it's not the popular thing with Aaron Rodgers or in the media. Two, because the Steelers tried to do the exact same thing, only Mason Rudolph was a third-round pick, and he's just not good enough, right? They haven't been able to find that replacement in the draft because they haven't used draft capital to draft a first-round draft pick quarterback, and maybe now they think the free agent market is the way to go. Two, I mean, I do think this is just a public negotiation because it just get, you know, Ben wants to come back, and I think you have to take him back. But only if it's at some massively discounted rate. They have so many other issues. The last part, which is interesting, is, you know, I had Juju Smith-Schuster on my show, and he said he hadn't talked to Ben. The reports are people in the organization haven't talked to Ben. So it's weird to try and figure out, like, what would Ben possibly be upset about, other than the fact that, you know, they're going to pay him less money, you know, to play the position that he has a chance to make less money or zero money, based upon what his futures are in Pittsburgh.
Right, and it's not like they finished in a blaze of glory or anything. Do you know, like, I think everything's all relative, and you have to be able to look at your situation and figure it out. I always think, Doug, the worst, knowing where you fit in and knowing the situation, I think the worst I ever saw was Hervé Villechaize. Remember him?
No.
He was Tattoo on Fantasy Island.
Okay. I know who Tattoo is in Fantasy Island. Yes.
He's on a popular TV sitcom making money.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He has like two lines, the plane.
The plane, yes.
Exactly. He talked his way out of a contract at ABC because he wanted equal money to Ricardo Montalban, who was the star of the show. And wound up with nothing, no TV show. And I'm like, how do you talk yourself out of a show when you have a limited dialogue, you know, and limited lines, and you got to know where you fit in? So if I'm Ben, he can't be mad at the organization, and a 39-year-old quarterback who really can't move around, who finished up a season that looked terrible and lost a playoff game. So I just think you got to, you know, let down, be humble a little bit, understand what's going on here. You're at the end of the line. And if you really want to finish it and play one more year in Pittsburgh, then you got to kind of work with them.
Yeah, no, I think it's actually, there's some similarities even to the J.J. Watt deal. It's like, I want to play for a winner. Like, okay, well, if we want to play for a winner, we know which teams you want to play for. You're just going to have to play for less money. Well, I want to just keep playing. Ben said, like, money doesn't really mean anything. Like, okay, don't just tell us, show us, right? Like, what's the least you will play for? And then let's work with that. That's kind of where we are. You know, so, and I would get it. Like, there's a pride factor to it. Whether or not you actually need the money or not, there's got to be a pride factor.
There's no doubt, Doug. You know that. It just doesn't feel right, you know, like, oh man, they want to take my money, or they want me to work here for less money. You know, there is, and people can say, oh, he has all the money in the world in the bank. It still doesn't feel good. I don't care what anybody says.
There's zero chance it feels good. So, okay, so here's my question, and we're going to take you to people of Pittsburgh upcoming next. In your opinion, Rob Parker, is Ben Roethlisberger the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year?
No way, no how. I don't know who's going to be. Is it? Are they going to give Haskins a chance? This kid was a first-round pick. I know it blew up in his face in D.C., and he had maturity issues, Doug. You know, can they figure him out and somehow get lucky? They didn't bring him there just to try on the uniform. They must feel like maybe we can do something with him. Maybe there is something there, and maybe we're the ones who are able to get it out of him. And maybe this kid will mature and it'll snap in line that he's facing maybe his NFL career being over before it really got started. So he might, you know, dive into it.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to say no.
I'm just saying.
Well, what you have to understand is they just hired new offense coordinator Matt Canada. Okay, so Matt Canada was the offense coordinator of the Pitt Panthers when they beat Clemson. That was when Deshaun Watson lost at home to Pittsburgh. That's who the offense coordinator was. Then Matt Canada went to LSU, and that was the year before they had Joe Burrow. And his offense was too advanced for the personnel that they had. It was complete change from what they had been doing at LSU. But he's really well regarded, especially in Pittsburgh, where he had his greatest kind of personal success, you know, with the Pitt Panthers. And of course, he's rebuilt it since. I think that he ain't gonna want Haskins. And if you listen to that press conference, this is Kevin Colbert, the general manager of the Steelers, talking about their new offensive coordinator.
He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. And we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we're not negotiating as we sit here and answer this question. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is on the team. Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year, and we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. So hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben. And hopefully he'll be able to see that and feel the same way we do. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a new offense coordinator, although they are familiar with one another. I don't know. I think Haskins was just a dumpster dive, right? That he was on the market for basically nothing to take a look, and you take a look, and then you can always see it costs you nothing if you want to cut him heading forward. But the Matt Canada factor is really interesting. All right, that's what we'll do. We'll take it to Pittsburgh upcoming next. We'll try and figure out, is that the end of Ben Roethlisberger, right? Him, you kind of in tears, trying to get it together on the sideline. On the sideline of the playoffs. Who did they lose to? The Titans this year? Yeah. That's coming up. That's coming up next with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Go to rockauto.com for all the parts you need, your car will ever need. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business founded by automotive engineers in 1999 with two goals in mind. First, to give people direct access to all the parts, information hidden in computers and catalogs behind the store counter. And second, to make parts more affordable, right? By offering reliably low prices. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for vehicles of all ages. A vehicle that turns the engine off at every stoplight, or the battery installed in the trunk that needs a modern AMG battery like those at rockauto.com. That's where they sell them. Yes, every car battery delivered right to your door. Why waste time hunting for parts and phoning and driving, waiting in lines? Go to rockauto.com today and make sure you tell them Dan Patrick sent you. Okay, how'd you hear about us? Just say Dan Patrick. That's rockauto.com. Remember, Dan Patrick sent you.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, presented by Mercedes AMG. You know, it's interesting, Rob. I know how much you're salivating to talk about this Fernando Tatis contract. Like, as soon as it happened, I was like, man, here comes Rob Parker in for the Fernando Tatis contract. Like, that's how you have to be. When you saw the number come down, 14 years, was it 340?
$340 million, that's what is being reported, yep.
My first thought was Rob Parker, and your first thought was what?
Amazing. You know, I mean, he's got 4 years left before he's eligible. Yeah. You know, like these years early, you know, Doug, the teams own your rights and they don't pay you that much. By comparison, like Aaron Judge with the Yankees made $10 million last year.
Well, before that, year before that, he didn't make $1 million at all.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So it's,
you know what I'm saying? So for Tatis to be offered that kind of money and his representation is right, people are like, well, that's not really that much money in 10 years from now. No, $340 million guaranteed. When we don't know what could happen to you a year from now, or they figure you out, or you're batting 220 4 years from now. Seriously, I don't know how you would turn down $340 million.
No, there's no way you're turning it down. Right. It is a question if you take the money now, or do you wait and you play the game and hope for money later? It's a we'll get into this in a little bit. Aditi Kinkabwala joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, works for the NFL Network, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Aditi, what just your personal reaction to the way in which Kevin Colbert handled the Ben Roethlisberger questions yesterday was what?
Confusion. Am I allowed to admit that? Is that okay to say?
Yes.
I'm confused 3 hours a day, for sure.
No, but we knew that Ben had publicly said, hey, money's not really an issue. And then he said he wanted to come back. Like, yeah, he said he wanted to come back, but you know, he definitely hedged. I guess, do they want him back?
I think that right there is the $64 million question. So the reason that I'm saying I'm confused is, look, I've covered the league for more than a dozen years. I've covered this team specifically for 9 years. And this is the most confused. I'm sorry, I am leaving my daughter, who is wailing, but you know what? She was born in Cleveland.
She's not wailing. That's not wailing. That is not wailing.
She's a Browns fan, so she doesn't really like when I talk about the Steelers. Let's move on from that. okay, so here's the thing. The Steelers have done the same thing for, I don't know, 10 years at least, if not longer. I'm just talking about my history with them, and that is that they push cap charges into the future. They are constantly focused on this year and this year alone, right, and who cares about the future? And in doing that, it's fine. They just juggle the cap constantly, and they cut guys, and they restructure guys, and they turn money into bonuses, and each year it's kind of this accounting nightmare. Part of this is because general manager Kevin Colbert is constantly on a one-year contract, and he's sort of tied to Ben. And then, as you know, Ben, for the last 5, 6, 7 years, has kind of flirted with retirement at the end of every year, too. Like, oh, we'll see if I want to come back or not. So they always operate kind of in this one-year mode. It has worked fine until COVID hit, and all of a sudden the cap didn't increase as they expected it to, and now their cap hell is real, real, real cap hell. And so what does that mean? Right now, Ben Roethlisberger's cap number is $41 million. We just heard this morning that the floor of the cap is 180. It's probably not going to get more than 185, 190. $41 million is just completely untenable. The Steelers cannot field the team if one guy is $41 million. The problem is he's owed $19 million, and no matter what, the cap charge is going to be just about $23 million. So unless he retires, if they cut him, it's still going to cost them $23 million. If they somehow restructure or renegotiate this deal, the least it could possibly cost them is $23 million. If he walks away, then they're okay. If they cut him, then you're paying $23 million for nothing.
Right.
So in that regard, you're better off having him, because what's the obvious successor? Like, if he's going to cost you at least $23 million, you may as well have him. But there's also this question of, the Steelers are in limbo. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new quarterback coach. They can only run a very specific offense with Ben Roethlisberger. As you all saw last year, he just can't move in the same way anymore.
Yes, he looks like the Tin Man.
He does not practice every day. Yeah, he doesn't practice every day. This is not Tom Brady. You know, he hasn't practiced every day for at least 5 years. So is it time to move forward and say, okay, we need to see what the future holds? And is Art Rooney, the owner of the Steelers, looking around and seeing Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow in the division and saying, okay, we're not moving forward, we're not progressing where everybody else is it time to cut bait? Or is there not really a good option? And this is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who kind of have this trophy arrogance where they think they can compete every single year. And quite frankly, if you look at who's on the roster right now, is Ben the best bet to let them compete? But if you're paying Ben this much money, you can't get anybody else to play for you.
Right.
So it's just this like terrible conundrum. And the piece that I'm saying is so confusing is that Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM yesterday, had every single opportunity to say he wants Ben back, that Ben is the leader of this team, that no matter what it's going to take, if it's a team of MIT mathematicians, they will figure out how to get Ben in here in a cap number that's palatable. And he did not say that.
Is there any way they can make it uncomfortable to where, you know, Ben and the press conference couldn't have felt good to him listening to it,
no.
But to make him quit, you know, to make him want to retire, like not be welcomed anymore, you know, so that he might just walk away.
You know what? That will backfire. Then he will want to stick it to them even more. If he says to them, look, I gave you 17 years, 18 years, I gave you 2 Super Bowl titles, and you're treating me this way, no way. I'm not making anything easier for you. And come on, he's not walking away from $19 million. Would either of you walk away from $19 million?
Hell no. Hell no. Isn't this the same Kevin Colbert that said, like, they're all children, and he's the adult in the room, right? Was that last year?
I love that you say that, because I actually brought that up to him yesterday. A year ago, he could not have been more bullish on Ben.
Correct.
I mean, he kept sitting there saying he's going to be better than he's been in 5 years. Yes, this year off is going to have to actually make him better. Like, it was going to be like that movie, Rookie of the Year. Like, suddenly his ligament would be stronger because of the year off.
Very good reference.
Just setting Ben up to be. Am I aging myself?
No, it's a great reference. I mean, for me, it was perfect. I'm like, I remember the movie. It's a ridiculous premise, but people actually think that's how it works.
Right. So Kevin was just adamant that Ben was going to come back and have this MVP type year, and the Steelers were going to win a Super Bowl, and that's that. Well, yesterday he's like, we think he can still do some good things. And I mean, totally different tone. So I asked him about that. I said, you know, a year ago, Kevin, you could not have been more complimentary. This time around, you're saying he could do some good things? And Kevin goes, do I think that there are still some things that he could do are special? Oof. Or he could still do some special things?
Oof.
Absolutely. Some. That's not like, do I think he's outstanding? Do I still think he's elite? Do I still think that he can win games on his shoulder? No, he didn't say any of that. So again, I mean, look, Kevin Colbert loved Mason Rudolph. Kevin Colbert almost traded back up into the first round to get Mason Rudolph. I don't know that Mason Rudolph has proven right now that he is in any way the future of the franchise. But even yesterday, Kevin was like, well, I think Mason wants to show us more. And Mason was great in that week 17 game.
I love Mason Rudolph. Played at my alma mater. He's a great man. He's a good dude. Like, what happened with him in Cleveland, I'm actually kind of personally upset about, just from everybody who knows him coming to contact, like, he's a good dude. He ain't a starting quarterback in the NFL. How many times? Duck Hodges was better than him a year ago. What are they?
You know, I love that you're saying Duck Hodges, because here is the magic of Kevin Colbert. He is not a realist. He is an optimist.
No, he's not an optimist. This is when you want somebody who's a rabbi in the room. You want somebody who drafted you to be he believes in him. You know, like, he believed in him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great, dude. But we all saw that with a better football team, they couldn't win last year when Mason got an opportunity. And you know, now they're in that cap.
I'll say this is sort of the evolution that I have come to in the last month or so, just in conversations that I've had with people that are part of the team around the, you know, members of this organization or people who have even worked here before. I thought a month ago, if you had asked me a month ago, I said there was nobody in the organization who would have the chutzpah, let's call it, to tell Ben Roethlisberger he couldn't do it anymore. And it was not smart for him to come out there, and he did not want to end the way Eli Manning ended.
Right.
Now, I do think that Art Rooney would indeed tell him that if that's what the organization believes. But I don't believe that there is consensus right now that the smart move is moving on from Ben. And this is what's weird, is that Kevin Colbert yesterday said they want to figure out the cap before they go. They want to figure out their situation before they go to Ben to rework that number. That feels backwards to me. Rework the number with Ben, because Ben has already told you he's not going to ask for a raise. $19 million for a starting quarterback is bargain basement price, and he said he will do whatever he needs to do to fix that cap number. Figure it out, and then you know what else you have to play with.
Let me ask you about the Dwayne Haskins. Was that just a flyer because it didn't cost him any money? Does he have any chance of competing for the quarterback job or not?
I think that that depends on who he is and how he grows up. You know, what his – Mike Tomlin doesn't – Mike Tomlin isn't cowed by sort of personality things as much as maybe somebody else is. You know, I know that there are people within the Steelers organization who thinks it's pretty telling that Ron Rivera, a guy who is universally respected, if not loved, was going through cancer treatment, was obviously immunosuppressed, and Dwayne Haskins was not taking COVID restrictions seriously. So that was sort of that's more than, hey, I'm partying in a way I shouldn't be, or hey, I'm not preparing how I should be. That's saying, I don't care if I'm putting your life at risk. That was very significant in Washington. Here in Pittsburgh, I think there's the feeling that, you know what, this didn't cost anything. This is an unbelievably talented young man. Why not bring him in as a camp arm as opposed to a Duck Hodges and see what we have? And maybe hitting bottom a year ago in Washington makes him sort of accelerate the maturation process. I don't think that this is a legitimate, oh, he could be our starting quarterback. I think it's, as he said, taking a flyer on somebody and seeing what you get at little to no cost.
What about Juju?
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's going to command way too much money. And the truth of the matter is that he's never been a true one in Pittsburgh. He's been kind of a 1A, let's say. He had a tremendous year when Antonio Brown was garnering double and triple teams on the other side. Antonio's gone, and Juju hasn't been a one. And right now, the Steelers think that they have three guys in Chase Claypool, James Washington, and Deontay Johnson, we've kind of been 1A's also, and so they'll throw it out in training camp. Okay, go ahead. One of you go win the number one spot. And there's enough talent in that group and in those three guys and enough work ethic in how they go at it. And also, you know, this again, I'll say this again. Mike Tomlin has a high level of tolerance for things like, you know, the Facebook Live video and the TikTok video and the dancing and the,
you can't have the drops. You can't have the drops
I'm saying that Tomlin does, but I don't know that Art Rooney does. I think there's a piece of this where it's kind of like, enough. That's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers stand for.
If you're winning, they stand for, if you're winning, it's different, right? It's true. I mean, they won, but maybe also not enough. Aditi, thanks so much. It's always great to catch up with you.
Appreciate it.
That was not whaling,
thanks
by the way.
Thanks for having
Trust
me.
I have three of them. That was not whaling. Aditi
Kigawala. He's learning, I guess.
Well, of course. Thanks, Aditi. Aditi does a great job for the NFL Network. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. And that's just a weird way. You know, it reminds me of, Rob, it's like when you have a buddy who's dating a girl. He's been dating her for like a year, right? You guys been together like a year. Like, oh, she's the one? You're like, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe, you know. Like, okay, so she's not. Like, no, I didn't say that. I mean, like, you know, it's just still too early. Like, no, you kind of know.
Right.
You kind of know. Right. It doesn't, and it's again, it's a lot like this situation. It's like, could you dump Ben? Yeah, but then you got to go find another quarterback. Like, there's lots of women out there. Like, did you want to break up with him? Like, yeah, but then I got to go through the guy.
But then, right, you got to go through the whole thing again, and you got to date. And
yes.
I'm comfortable. I know what I got, even though it's not the greatest, right? I know what I got. Yeah, it is definitely similar.
All right, let's get back to that Fernando Tatis Jr. contract. So if you're just joining us, Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb. Rob has inside the Parker, which is...
Matter of fact, Doug, I have a fresh Inside the Parker that dropped this morning on the Herd Podcast Network. So please listen, share, subscribe. It is out right now.
Okay, so... this is the Padres trying to go. Padres doing something that, truthfully, does it give them financial stability and understanding what Tatis is going to cost for the rest of his career? Yes, but it really makes no sense, right? There's, you can't convince me otherwise that a guy who's played, it's like 142 games total, I think, in his career, and he's 4 years away from our. The Dodgers are putting together a super team, which is constructed of guys under club control making nothing, and then some of these huge high-priced guys, the Mookie Betts of the world and the Trevor Bowers of the world, right? And they got the super team, and the Padres are like, hey, look at me. We can spend money, too. That's what it feels like to me.
I get it, but I think in this case, this kid, Fernando Tatis Jr., has just taken baseball by storm. He has swag, Doug. He's fun to watch. You've watched him. I mean, he's just electric. I want to watch the guy play. I really do. He's one of those guys I would buy a ticket to go down to San Diego to watch him play. And I think they realize they have something. They're not interested in him going anywhere. They signed Machado to 10 years. So they're just saying, we're going to keep these two guys. We're going to fix our cost. I mean, people say 340, but what is that, $25 million a year, roughly, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. So you say, is that bad? 10 years from now, he's only making $25 million? I think that'd probably be a bargain 10 years from, or 6 or 8 years from now, where guys are making $40 million. What is Trevor Bauer making, $40 million or something like that? So I understand that, what they just said. You know, and I understand why Tatis Jr. would take it. Yes. Could he make more if he just signed a four-year deal, you know, and got a new deal when he's 28 years old, you know, and had maybe won an MVP or two or put up some huge numbers? So I think it's a win-win for both. It's the organization saying, you're not going anywhere. You're our guy. We're happy with what we've seen so far. They've gone out and made all kinds of moves. They added three starting pitchers to their rotation. Remember, they got Clevinger last year after the Indians didn't want him because of his breach of COVID. You know, they got him. He's on the disabled list for this year, had surgery. But they're going to compete in the NL West, and they're going to be a team. They made the playoffs for the first time in 15 years.
You don't have to sell me on the Padres, on the legitimacy of the Padres. It's just the idea of... This is like the Rams, where they're like, the Rams made this mistake not once but twice. First with Todd Gurley, let's sign him a year before we need to,
right?
And then Todd Gurley gets a big contract, and whether it's fair or unfair, his reputation that caused them to want to cut him was they didn't feel like he worked hard enough. And then same thing happened with Jared Goff. They signed Jared Goff a year before they had to, overpaid him, and then they're like, oh, you know what? He didn't work that hard. He's not that good for our system. Let's be gone with him. And, yeah, they figured out a way to make it work, but you're the Padres. You give a guy a 14-year deal. You have a 14-year contract where you're guaranteed a $340 million. I do believe in the first bunch of years you're trying to prove yourself, and you better make sure that dude is such a competitor that he is always going to bring it, because the back end of the deals are almost always – I mean, when has there been a good deal that's signed to this length?
No, there isn't one. There isn't one.
Now, this one is earlier than any of the other ones, earlier than it is. And it's a futures buy. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're telling everybody in San Diego, like, hey, this is us. This is real. This is what we're going to look like for the next bunch of years. I just, again, 4 years from arbitration doesn't say, 3 years really from arbitration doesn't really make a bunch of sense to me.
No, not normally it doesn't. I think we were talking off the air. About the Aaron Judge, right? Or was that earlier? Yeah, Aaron Judge. And he hasn't gotten paid yet. He made $10 million last year. Before that, what were we saying? Under a million? He's put up some big numbers. Yes, he hasn't been able to stay healthy as much as people would want, or Yankee fans, you know. It always seems to be an injury. But at some point, he would be dying to get some sort of big-time contract. And here is... Tatis, you don't think there are other players around the league salivating going, this guy played 2 years, one of them a 60-game season, right? And they cashed him out for for that kind of money, and every single nickel's guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a good life. That's the and you get to do it in San Diego.
Oh,
that's a good life.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, presented by Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. Hey, Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. Rob, did you see this Jalen Johnson story, the Duke... the Duke freshman who opted out 2 days ago of the Duke season?
Yes, and I know it got a lot of people's panties in a bunch, people ripping him, quitting on his team,
he did.
All about himself, right?
He is. I don't know if it's all about him. Yeah, I mean, it's all about himself, but yeah, I mean, quit on his team is basically kind of the premise of it. I mean, so for people who don't know the story, he's very talented. Highly touted recruit, probably the most highly touted recruit from a disappointing Duke squad. And
yeah, they're really bad this year, right? No tournament.
Well, as of now, no NCAA tournament, but there's, you know, they're like at 500. There's no reason they can't. The ACC is not very good. There's no reason they couldn't finish strong and potentially get in.
Okay.
And they played better. So he got in his last game, he only played 8 minutes and they won. They played well. They beat NC State. And apparently he cleaned out his locker and said he's opting out. And Mike Krzyzewski said, hey, probably best decision for him and his future because coaches are handcuffed by he'll be judged as a meanie if he says what he really thinks, which is what everybody else says. Like, really? You got 7 games left, 6 regular season, at minimum 1 ACC tournament game, and you're going to leave because of a little adversity? Like, what are you doing? what exactly? And... So that would be the universal reaction within the sport, of course. What do you think, Rob?
I get it. I mean, I think a lot of kids go to college, like the big-time recruits. They don't need college anymore, Doug. LaMelo Ball didn't play. Weissman played how many games in college? 4? How about Kyrie played 9 or 11?
Now, Kyrie came back from, he played 10, he came back from injury. Zion came back from injury. Right. And, but I think that's actually, the point you make is a good one, but it actually helps the point that I'm going to make, which is even stronger, which is, you're right. You don't necessarily need college. You don't have to go. There's a G League Ignite team where several of his brethren of high school All-Americans have chosen to
take the $500,000 or whatever.
It's not all 500, but yeah, right. To take the money and go.
Right.
The difference is he had that opportunity. He instead committed several times over to go to Duke. He's already at Duke. He's on the team. Things get tough, and he's like, "I'm out." It's indefensible because it wasn't his only option. This was the option he chose.
Yeah, but
he chose
also,
not to fulfill his obligation.
Okay, but have schools not always fulfilled their obligations to players? Have there been situations where they don't, you know, they think a guy maybe didn't live up to what they wanted, or they ask him to move on or whatever?
Sure,
take their scholarship?
Sure, at year's end. So, I mean, now look, for people who do the old school, hey, scholarships are only 1 year and they can cut you anytime. No, they actually can't. They're all 4 year and you can, and here's the thing. He can actually come back to Duke anytime he wants and still be on full scholarship. That's actually an NCAA rule that they have to. So all the benefits are in the favor of the student athlete and not in the school. And all we ask is like, hey man, you just finish up strong and you're good, right? You're good. It's right. The doing it with 6.5, 7 games left in the season.
But it really? Also is his decision, and people have a right, if something isn't what they thought it would be, to back out of a situation. You don't want to be there if your heart is not in it. I don't even want anybody to be around if they're not going to give their all or they don't feel. I remember when Pat Riley coached the Knicks, and I always use this because I do believe – what he was saying, and not that he won a championship with the Knicks or whatever, but it was like, Doug, either you're in or you're out. There's no like, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. I don't really want to be here. This sucks, whatever. I don't want that guy. I'd rather
Oh, listen, I'm sure Duke is probably going to be better off, right?
Right.
I mean, just and they'll feel better about their season. But that's not the point. The point is that this is the learning lesson for him. This is the whole reason you go to college, is to be coached by Mike Krzyzewski. And sometimes being coached is, hey man, those guys aren't as talented as you, but they're a better team, so you have to sit here and watch. I think famous Abe Lemons, you say there's a curious relationship between your backside and your brain. You sit in your ass, and all of a sudden you learn something, right? That's the whole reason you go to college. And the idea that, and his mom and dad were players too. They both played at UW-Milwaukee. Like the idea that nobody in his life is like, hey, dude, sit there, tough it out. You'll get another opportunity here. You got 7 games left. He's going to play you. You learn, you get better. And if not, you're still going to be an NBA draft pick instead. And look, if this is his decision, that's fine. You're allowed to. But this is kind of like freedom of speech. You're free to make big boy adult decisions. We're also free to judge you for those big boy adult decisions.
No, I'm not against people if they want to rip them or judge them or whatever. But ultimately, at the end of the day, he has to live with his decisions, his decision to go to Duke, his decision to pull the plug on Duke. And I'm always going to stand up for a person who decides what's best for them. Nobody knows what's going on internally, where his head is. Maybe he just,
that's the problem,
commit.
Is where his head is. The problem, no. Is that this is, you have people like, well, he's protecting his investment. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why is that dumb? That's not dumb. Why is he not playing? And he's going to be a guy who has a shot at the league, and it's going to be, could be a lottery pick. I mean,
sure.
Right?
So tell me how he's protecting his investment.
We got an 8-8 squad or whatever the record is, and I'm not playing here. Yeah. And everybody's telling me I'm going to the league.
Everyone who's telling him stuff, instead, if he would just lock in at Duke, earn more minutes, he would only improve his stock. The whole thing about college athletics is, not only do they get you into a school you probably couldn't get into, not only do they pay for a school that
not
you couldn't
everybody,
afford.
Not everybody, Doug. Don't broad brush.
I couldn't have gotten into Notre Dame with that basketball. I'm telling you, no. Do you know how hard it is to get into Notre Dame? I mean, get out of here.
Well, we would have let you in at Southern Connecticut State University. You could have got in there.
Yeah, because I had a pulse. But Duke and Notre Dame and UCLA and Stanford and all these schools, Virginia, they're ridiculously difficult. North Carolina, they're like Ivy League to get into. And one of the unspoken benefits of playing college athletics is getting into a university that had you been locked out of previously. That's a huge benefit to it. Then you get there, and not only is everything covered, but then you get the best coaching. And look, all you got to do is, but this is a great learning moment. But if you're talking about his future, the best way to invest in your future is to earn minutes on the court for Duke, because then you play in these televised games. Now you go off into the ether, and now they're still going to call Duke and say, okay, what's the deal here? Or they'll call John Shire, the assistant, like, look, he's a good kid, but he has no idea how to deal with any sort of adversity. And first time we benched him, he walked away. What do you think they're going to say?
You think that'll stop him from getting in the NBA?
No, but do I think it helps his brand? Do I think it protects his investment? I don't.
But I don't think it's going to hurt him ultimately. That's the problem. That's the situation.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.